Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the podcast. My name is Colin McEwen, and we are about to talk to a diplomat. This is it. This is the last episode of season one, I guess we'll call it, of the podcast. We have here as a guest my successor. A broad educational tour has taken her from a master's in public service at the University of Waterloo, a brief stint of continued education at Harvard Law, and partway through an LLB at the University of London. Please welcome the new editor of the Global Horizons program at the NATO Association of Canada, Magdalena Surma.
Thank you.
So this will be a slightly different episode than normal. It'll be a bipartite episode, I suppose you'd call it. The first half will be our guest explaining herself, and then the tables are going to flip, and I'm going to be the one being grilled, so to speak. So, Magdalena, any hints about future, since this is going to be your show soon, any hints about future guests that we might be hearing from soon?
So in terms of future guests, I definitely plan on reaching out to a few of my professors that I had at Harvard University and the University of Waterloo in the Masters of Public Service program. I plan on having a few officials from the government and people who are also a part of non-governmental organizations contribute to the podcast. I'm also looking into the possibility of getting some of my coworkers and my colleagues from previous jobs to contribute towards this podcast as well.
Definitely a good start with the network, and of course that tends to feed upon itself. Mm-hmm. With the range of credentials and interests that I see looking at your bio, I guess in the abstract, why would you focus on NATO in the abstract, and then why here at the NATO Association of Canada in particular?
I'm very passionate about international affairs. With my background in legal studies, government, and also business, I find that it's very important for youth and today's society to understand the significance of international relations. I'm currently completing my LLB at the University of London International Program, where I've been exposed to various issues pertaining to international affairs, and I see this area moving into a direction where it's only growing, it's only becoming bigger, and I strongly feel that today's generation needs to be as involved as possible in order to make a difference, in order to contribute, and in order to stay informed and to understand the policies that are being implemented. In terms of the career that I want to pursue, I see myself being involved in politics, international affairs, and law. So I would love to see myself pursue a career where I can make a significant difference in international affairs while applying my understanding of international law to certain policies that are being implemented.
Since you've mentioned and focused on, I guess, the education of the next generation, what's your elevator pitch? How do you convince someone, or at least get them to start listening in a fairly short window, that this is actually something they need to care about?
So what I would do is I would definitely say that everyone needs to be engaged in international affairs. The younger you start, the better it is. In order for you to be able to understand what policies are being implemented, what changes are happening in the world, you need to stay informed to relevant information, to the news, to government, to see what is happening. You also need to understand that by being inactive in politics, being inactive in organizations, and by being inactive in what's happening in today's society, in today's world, you are not doing a justice to yourself, you're not doing a justice to your community, and you're not doing a justice for the possibility of making a difference. International relations is something that definitely involves politics, government, law, and also the court system. There are so many aspects and elements that international relations has to offer that the best way for me to engage a potential student or a potential person who's a youth in the community to be more involved in international relations is to simply ask them, what is it that you're passionate about? Do you like politics? Do you like criminology? Do you like law? And then move from that one topic into international relations. The beauty behind international relations is that it's not focused on one discipline. There are various components and many different disciplines that creates international relations. So whether it be being involved in a government organization, being involved in a non-for-profit organization, you can always make a difference one way or another. It's never too late. It's better for you to be involved sooner than later. A lot of my friends are currently studying law or politics. I even have a few friends who are completing a degree in international relations. And they always tell me that law is an area where you focus on various different types of laws, such as contract law, common law and reasoning, criminal law. All of those areas tie in with international relations. You can take one topic and you can discuss that topic in so many different ways, from a sociological perspective, from a perspective where you focus on criminology or affairs. The one thing that you need to understand is that even if you know very little about a certain topic, it's never too late to ask someone to discuss relevant issues. I feel that international relations is definitely something that everyone should understand, everyone should be involved in. You can have different opinions about different policies that have been implemented, but you should definitely take the time at least to know what's going on in today's world.
It would be a lengthy pitch to fit all of that into your classic elevator ride, but you will, I think, soon have the chance to try and make that case directly to the people, as they would say. So we will all be watching to see how that goes. So as you were just talking about, within the extremely broad umbrella of IR, you could find unfathomably large different number of topics that covers pretty much every sphere of human activity you can imagine. Within that, inevitably, there's going to be contradictory information, there's going to be every opinion under the sun. What does it take for you to change your mind? How do you avoid the many, many pitfalls of cognition that a human can have, like confirmation bias, like excessively motivated cognition, I might call it, to put some extremely fancy words to ulterior motives? What does it take for you to change your mind?
In order for me to change my mind, I need to understand every side, every point of view. I need to ensure that I fully have accessibility to all of the relevant information out there. Before I do make my decision up, I need to be able to not only engage in the topic, but I need to make sure that I have information that is relevant from experts, from people who specialize in a specific topic pertaining to international relations. In order for me to be able to have my own point of view on a certain matter, I like to take everything into perspective. I would rather sit down and look at the opinions of 10 different experts and then make my decision up, as opposed to using one or two opinions and then proceeding that way. I feel that knowledge is power. I strongly feel that it's very important for someone, especially who's discussing international relations, to be able to research to be able to reach out to these experts to obtain as much information as possible, to be able to eliminate the bias, because there are a lot of publications out there that do contain bias, and it takes that ability to eliminate that bias through knowing your research, through investigating, and through conducting your own extensive research at your own time. In order for me to change an opinion that I have on a topic, and I strongly feel that with international relations, it's sometimes difficult for one to have their opinion swayed. Unless you're dealing with a number of experts who convince you and who have the ability to prove you wrong. There have been times where I've made arguments and people have disagreed. Now, there is nothing wrong with disagreeing or agreeing with someone's opinions. However, I strongly feel that it's important when you're discussing a topic to be well-versed and to understand that you need to take into account as many resources as possible, but resources that have merit and credibility. So to sum it up, for me to change my opinion on a topic that I strongly feel I'm passionate about, or that I feel that I'm right in my views, I would have to have someone with an immense amount of credibility prove me wrong, or I would have to change my opinion based on where international relations is going, and as time changes, opinions change. So it's a matter of where we are now and where we will be going. So for me to have my opinion change, I would have to rigorously take into account opinions from credible experts, or I would have to take into account various publications that have changed the circumstances.
All right, I don't want to spend too much more time on this question, but what you said just now made me curious. You said that opinions change as time changes, but if you can accurately predict your own future opinion after getting more information, wouldn't you just adopt that now?
That's a good question. You would, but you'd have to take the time to check for credibility. You'd have to invest in ensuring that you know exactly what's going on, and you'd have to be 100% certain that the topic that you once stood very strongly for has changed, and therefore your entire perspective has changed as a result of that. So that's a big shift for anyone to take.
All right, this will be the last question from me. Since this is something that I started, and I can't help but feel a little bit of attachment to it, I'm curious, what do you intend to do that I have not or could not myself?
So I definitely plan on making a few videos with professors that have previously taught me from Harvard and from the University of Waterloo. I also intend on interviewing government officials, NGOs, and current members of the NATO Association, along with members of NATO headquarters.
It's definitely an ambitious agenda. All right, well, this will wrap up part one of the episode. Click the second audio player below to see part two, where the tables are turned. Dr. Diplomat, signing off, briefly.